I want to continue talking about contentment. Let's read 2 Corinthians 9:8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. That word sufficiency is the same word that we translate into contentment in 1 Timothy 6:6, which says, Godliness with contentment is great gain. Paul is writing the church in Corinth saying God uses abundant grace to give us contentment, sufficiency, enough in all things that we may abound in every good work. We will have enough to do the good work by the empowerment of God. Because we all know I love context, let's go back to the beginning of the chapter. Verse 1, for as touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you. Superfluous. Love that word and wish I remembered to use it in real life. Here it means excessive. Paul is saying when we talk about meeting the needs of the saints, it would be over the top. It would be excessive for me to write to you about this because, verse 2 says, I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many. So what he's saying is, I know your predisposition to give. I know you were ready to give last year, and I told the church in Macedonia about that, and it inspired to give them to give as well. Yet have I sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this behalf, that as I said, you may be ready, lest haply, if they of Macedonia come with me and find you unprepared, we, that we say not ye, should be ashamed in this same confident boasting. So Paul is just saying, I know you said you were going to give. I know you're ready to give, but I really am coming for it. Don't make me ashamed of what I said of you. He's not trying to put shame on them, right? He says, I'm not saying you would be ashamed. I would be ashamed. We would be ashamed, right? He's using this inclusive language because he knows where their heart is at. And he just wants to make sure they're not caught flat-footed. Therefore, verse 5, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty, whereof you have notice before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not as of covetousness. So motivation matters. Paul is reminding the church about their commitment, but he wants them to give out of bounty, out of abundance. Think about that versus taking because you want what someone has. The NLT says a willing gift, not grudging. If you are not content, you will never have enough left to give. If you're not at a place of sufficiency, you will never have enough to spare. You might have good intentions. A lot of us say, well, when I will give. When this happens, I will give. However, if you're looking around and your bounty, at your bounty, you can always find something to give. I was talking to someone about giving and being generous, and they said, oh, I give a lot. I always send my stuff to Goodwill. They were completely serious, but they were giving out of their lack. They had to buy new clothes and shoes or a chair, and to make room for that, they had to get rid of something. The Goodwill donation was made because of a lack of space, not out of an abundance of blessing. Not to belabor the point, but I was talking to a friend of mine, and her friend had a house fire. The lady who had a house fire said there was a ton of donations, but it was all clothing and furniture no one wanted anymore. Now, this is pertinent to our conversation because Paul is specifically talking about alleviating physical needs of saints in another location. When we give, we say, I'm giving my best because I have enough. Or are we giving our cast-offs because we can't afford to spare any of our resources? Verse 6, But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Proverbs 19:17 says, he that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will he pay him again. So when you lend to the poor, you're lending to God, and he will always repay. And so when we're giving, we don't want to give sparingly. We want to give we want to sow a lot of seed because we want a lot of crop. This is something my mother would remind me of as she gave people money as I was growing up. And I'm thankful for this example. I remember her giving $100 to a neighbor lady who needed some cash. And she quoted this verse and she said, I never expect this lady to pay me back. I'm giving it to the Lord. He will give it back when I need it. I believe the lady did pay her back, but it really didn't matter. My mom was sowing bountifully. Verse 7 says, every man according as he has purpose in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Let every man think about what he should give. Pray about what he's going to give. And once they've decided, without persuasion or coercion, they should give without sadness or obligation or because that's what's expected. It should bring us joy. Now remember, this church had already made a commitment, but it was a long time ago. It was a year ago. And right, their attitude could have changed. And Paul's saying, do not give because you are being persuaded, because you are being coerced. Give because it brings you joy. Giving should bring us joy. If giving doesn't bring us joy, that is an indicator of spiritual illness. Have you ever looked at your favorite treat when you're sick and it makes you ill just looking at it? Same thing. When you come across a need, when you are asked to give, and it brings out a bad attitude, you need to check your spiritual temperature. Verse 8, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound in every good work. Here's why you have more than what you need. It is so you can do good work. Ephesians 2:10 says we are created unto good works. God blesses us not to get more stuff and go on vacation, but to do good. Of course, we can have nice things and go on vacation, but very few of us cap our spending, say, this is enough for me, and I am going to do good with the rest. We are not very mindful of our resources as it relates to giving as a whole. Verse 9 says, as it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. So he's quoting here from Psalms 112:9, which says, he hath dispersed, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever, his horn shall be exalted with honor. And so Paul is making an appeal to the Old Testament. He is appealing to scripture that they would have read. And he's saying, this is a principle we already know. When you give to the poor, when you give to places that are not going to benefit you, where you get no immediate feedback or immediate benefit, your righteousness is going to remain forever. He continues in verse 10. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, or gives the seed to the sower, both ministers bread for your food and multiplies your seed sown and increases the fruits of your righteousness. Let me read it in NLT. It's a little bit easier. For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and the bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. So what is the source of our prosperity? We often think of terms of, I worked hard for my money, so I deserve, Or if I work harder, I will be able to afford. The center of that thinking is self. What if we thought of our paycheck as from the Lord, our investments as from the Lord, our extra vegetables in the garden as from the Lord? Psalms 11:24 says, "Give freely and become more wealthy. Be stingy and lose everything. The generous will prosper. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. People curse those who hoard their grain, but they bless the one who sells in time of need." 2 Corinthians continues in verse 11, "Being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God." Let's read it in the NLT again. "Yes, you will be enriched in every way, so that you can always be generous. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank God." So two good things will result from this ministry of giving. The needs of the believers in Jerusalem will be met, and they will joyfully express their thanks to God. Wow. This all stems from contentment. People's needs will be met, and God will be given thanks if our lives bring glory to God by being generous, by giving to people's needs. What a great thing to do. We have increased goods, we have increased blessings, and we have it for the purpose of blessing others, which produces thanksgiving to God. Think about a fellow believer's response when you supply a need. If you bring groceries to somebody, you prepare their car, you mow their grass, and they say, "Praise God! Oh, thank you, Jesus," right? Your good works gives God praise, and it causes this gift to God. Verse 13 says, "As a result of your ministry, they will give glory to God, for your generosity to them and to all believers will provide you, will prove that you are obedient to the good news of Christ, and they will pray for you with deep affection because of the overflowing grace God has given you." I love verse 14. "And they will pray for you with deep affection." Isn't that true? I know for me, when someone shows a kindness to me, I feel so loved and I love them in return. I'm more prayerful about their needs. Sometimes we are never noticed except because of our kindness. For me, I'm not beautiful or rich enough for anyone to pay any mind to me. But if I'm kind and generous, I will be remembered. And the root of it all, overflowing grace. Grace that is so great in you, it is passed on. Gifts we don't deserve, passed on to the next person. And grace reaches the next person. Thank God for this gift. Too wonderful for words. That's what NLT says in verse 15. Thanks be to God for this process. It's an amazing thing. It's an amazing gift. It builds unity and trust within the body. It allows us to serve more effectively and is the most joyful and fulfilling thing that we can do.